This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
I've got Dr. William Baines here from MIT and University of Cambridge. You're kind of taking both Cambridges there.
I am.
And you're a biochemist by trade, is that right?
Yes, biochemist.
So I've got to ask you, what is a biochemist doing at the National Astronomy Meeting?
Well, there are three answers. The first is I don't know. And the second is because I was invited here. But the real reason is I've developed an interest in astrobiology. And obviously, if you look at astrobiology, you're looking at bodies outside the Earth, and that means astronomy.
You've been turning things on their heads a little bit today at NAM. Can you tell me what your talk was about, life on Titan? And you seem to have some interesting ideas about what life needs to exist. Could you expand on that?
Yeah, well, I come at astrobiology from a background experience in the biotech industry. And we're used to the idea we don't really know what life is and how it works at all. So I started from some really basic ideas about what we mean by living things and try to build up from that what the chemistry going on in those living things would be. And I used as an example the surface of Titan as an extremely non-Earth-like environment in which I can then look at the chemistry, look at what goes on there, energy sources and things like that, and say, what might life look like if it was native to the surface of Titan?
Classically, astronomers think of carbon, water, these are the things that need for life. Do you agree with that, or is it a bit more abstract?
I start from a much more abstract idea. I start from life as being something that propagates itself so it can grow and it can reproduce based on some internal code, internal description. And that's why living things pass their characteristics on to the next generation. They've got a description themselves that they pass on to their offspring. This really quite different from any other physical phenomenon we know. And you can build from that, and a lot of my talk was about how you logically build on that, to say what the chemistry going on in that living system must do. Now, that doesn't necessarily constrain you to carbon or to water. I don't think astronomers are wrong to look for carbon and look for water. I think, you know, you have to have a liquid. You have to have something to dissolve the chemistry in. And water's a very common liquid. Water's a common chemical in the universe. It's commonly present as a liquid. It's obviously present on Earth, but also inside the moons of Jupiter as liquid. There's a lot of liquid water around. So that makes sense. And if you're going to dissolve the chemistry in water, then having chemistry based on carbon is a really good idea for a variety of chemical reasons. So I think looking for carbon, looking for water, okay, that's sensible. But it is worthwhile thinking, what else might there be out there? Because there might be other things we haven't thought of that we could also look for and be really interesting.
When we're talking about Titan, so I'm not quite sure what the conditions actually are like on Titan. Is there anywhere on Earth that's comparable to it?
Oh, not outside the lab, no. It's really cold, so it's about 90 Kelvin, and so that's far colder than anywhere on Earth. There's quite a lot of water there, but it's present as ice. It's frozen completely solid. It's always present as ice. Essentially, water is a rock on Titan. There are lakes on Titan, and there is a fantastic picture from the Cassini mission that came out fairly recently showing a tiny little gleam on the pole of Titan where sunlight's reflecting off a lake. But the lake's made of liquid methane and ethane, so it's essentially natural gas as a liquid on the surface. You don't get anything like that on Earth.
So, I mean, if there was life on Titan, it wouldn't be able to survive over here?
If you transported it to Earth and opened the door, it would boil, and then it would probably burst into flames. And one of the sort of bizarre things to come out of my analysis of the sort of chemistry that might go on, because clearly the chemistry that goes on in liquid methane is going to be different from the chemistry going on in liquid water. It's different types of chemicals, different rates, and so on and so forth. One of the analyses of the type of chemistry that could happen is suggest the chemicals in there would smell absolutely revolting. So you're talking, I mean, everybody knows hydrogen sulfide is really smelly. It's this famous rotten egg smell. But there are also things like phosphines and silanes, other sorts of hydrogen, other sorts of sulfides. These things all smell absolutely horrible. And they smell horrible because they're really poisonous and really reactive. And they react with your proteins, they react with the water inside your nose. They're just hideous stuff. Quite a lot of chemistry has been done on these because they're important industrial chemicals in some cases. So, you know, we know quite a lot about the chemistry, and this is why we know they're horrible. And also quite poisonous.
So we wouldn't have much chance of maybe communicating with these aliens.
Communicating is certainly not face-to-face, no. I mean, this idea, you know, you sit down in the Starship Enterprise mess room and have dinner with them. Just, yeah, that's really not going to work. Communicating more remotely, though, if there were aliens capable of communicating, then that you could do. I must say, I think it's not very likely that there are... I think it's pretty unlikely there are aliens there at all, to be honest. Yeah, the environment's just really weird. And from what we know of life, it doesn't seem very likely. If there is, it's probably going to be fairly slow, fairly simple. So it's going to be, you know, little bacteria-like things, possibly something big enough to see, but it's going to be slow-growing. It's going to be not really exciting communication material.
Okay, well, thank you for talking to us. Just one final question is a bit out there. In your opinion, is there other life in the universe, and how likely are we to discover it?
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, that's the biggie, isn't it? I think there's almost certainly life out there in the universe. The question of whether we're likely to discover it depends how common it is. Yeah. And the current thought is that life is very common. Life arose very quickly on Earth after the Earth became habitable. And if that is not a statistical fluke, then that means life must arise quite easily, and that means it must arise quite easily on other planets. I don't think that argument's necessarily accurate. I think life has to arise on Earth, because if it didn't, we wouldn't be here talking about it. So Earth is a bias sample. So if we say, let's take Earth out of the equation, how many planets do we know have got life on? None. How many can we look at? None. So we don't really know the answer at all. I must say, as a biochemist, I think life is extraordinarily complicated, and hence has to be slightly unlikely. So will we find life somewhere else? The universe is huge. I'm sure life is out there somewhere. I'm not enormously optimistic that it's anywhere nearby. But let's cross our fingers. Let's hope I'm wrong. Let's hope there's little green men running around on Mars, because that would just be brilliant.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us today.
You're welcome.
Thanks.